This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number three of this fourth episode from ForkFest 2020. You can go to forkfest.party, learn more about the event here. And also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by liberty.menu. It is a great little site that is only for liberty-minded folks. So if you care about freedom and you understand the non-aggression principle, you qualify to use liberty.menu. That means you can list the business that you have, or maybe the show that you do. You got like a, you know, content that you're the creator of, you want to help promote to other liberty-minded folks, then liberty.menu is a resource for you. And it's free to use, so head on over to liberty.menu, and you can list the things that you do there so other people can find you and maybe buy your stuff. Liberty.menu as we continue here. It's Ian with you.
And Aria.
We're in our remote studio on a nice breezy day here. The sun is behind the clouds as we've been talking about the utter failure of the politicians in Minneapolis and Minnesota specifically to do anything of meaning in a recent session they had at the legislature. Story from StarTribune.com.
You know, it occurs to me that this is gutsy on their part. I mean, these people burned down a police station,
mm-hmm.
and then they failed to get anything accomplished on the subject for which the police station was burned.
That's correct.
What do they think is going to happen to their houses?
Well, that's an interesting question. There was another story in the news recently that I bookmarked. I think it was Kentucky, McConnell or whatever. He's like one of the House Speaker or something or other. He's one of these big wig politicians. But apparently the protesters went to his house and were chanting, "No justice, no sleep," outside of his house. In the days since the world...
Not a fan of the Gitmo tactics, but hey, if it works and it gets the state off of our backs.
I don't care for chanting personally, but I got to say, in this particular instance, if it's bothering the hell out of a politician at his house, okay. That's fine. And I think that's an entirely legitimate form of protest in that particular case, to go to the home of these people and let them know you're there. I think that's entirely legitimate.
Yeah, because they can't ignore you there.
Correct. And we've done it, by the way, in Keene. We've been to Judge Burke's house. We've been to Fenton Moore's house. He was the cop who knocked Derek Jay off of his bicycle. And the idea is these guys shouldn't be able to just drop it and go home. You know, they shouldn't be able to just – your work isn't just over in that building over there. You're destroying people's lives 24 hours a day, and so it's totally legitimate for those people who you've attacked through your violent laws to come to your home and let it be known that they don't appreciate what you're doing, to bring attention to you, to let your neighbors know who they're living next to, and to, you know, because, oh, well, he's just that nice guy that lives next door. He always says hi. He waves at me. No, this is a scumbag politician or cop or whoever it is who is contributing to the damaging of innocent lives. And many people don't even know who their neighbors are. So having a group of protesters show up outside, now, I would feel bad for the other neighbors. You know, if he lives in a neighborhood, he probably doesn't. He's probably a rich guy with, you know, a large property would be my guess.
Yeah, speaking of lobbyists.
Yeah.
That's how they pay for those large houses.
Exactly. So here's what happened, and what I mean is didn't happen, in Minneapolis and Minnesota. In the days since the world saw Minneapolis police kill George Floyd, expectations were high that the death of an unarmed black man would compel decisive action by the Minnesota legislature. Well, that's not true. I think expectations were high that mass protests in, you know, the burning down of buildings might encourage politicians to do something. Because the cops have been killing people for a long time, and that hasn't done anything to motivate politicians to change anything. So I think people thought that massive protests lasting for weeks with a tremendous amount of people and lots of media attention might change things. But no, a week of emotional hearings and tense behind-the-scenes negotiations on police reform produced nothing more than an impasse between Governor Tim Walz, the House Democratic majority, and Republicans who control the Minnesota Senate. Lawmakers left St. Paul at sunup Saturday morning without a deal on criminal justice reform, ending a long night of frustration and weeks of hope for finding some common ground. The DFL governor called it an embarrassment for Minnesota and blamed Republicans for setting an arbitrary deadline. The finger-pointing has already begun. Oh, see.
That was inevitable.
Yeah, see, we tried. We really wanted to help with this police reform stuff, but those guys over there, they just wouldn't let it happen. Well, and you know the Republicans are going to point fingers too, right? Well, no, it wasn't our fault. It was their fault. So we'll get into that. Lawmakers left again with nothing done. They said they blamed the Republicans for an arbitrary deadline. Quote, I'm really worried the message this sends to all those tens of thousands of protesters who are on the streets, all those people across Minnesota and across the country who expected that this time it was going to be different.
This I don't know why governor. They would have expected that in the first place, but, I mean, what he says protesters, what he means is voters.
The divisions on display in the final hours of the special session trickled into other parts of the legislative agenda as well, leaving unsettled a tentative deal to distribute $841 million in federal COVID-19 aid to counties and towns across Minnesota, also left undone a $1 billion-plus bonding package to finance public infrastructure projects throughout the state. Party leaders set no timeline for resuming their work, though another extension of Walz's emergency powers in the middle of July could bring them back to St. Paul for yet another special session. They're special. Walz was noncommittal about whether he might call the legislature back before then, despite increasingly urgent appeals for action from activists and DFL legislators. Republicans suggested that more time was needed to complete the work. Senate Majority Leader Republican Paul Gazelka said, quote, we are weeks and weeks away from the possibility of doing something with criminal justice reform. It doesn't mean that we're done, or it done doesn't mean we're stopping working. So don't worry. These politicians, they're working hard. They're not doing anything in the state house right now. But for weeks, they're going to be cranking away on these reform packages that they care about. They are busy, busy, busy people. Don't worry. But it's going to take weeks. Because, well, that's government, right? If they're going to actually do something, it's going to take them a long time. But don't think that for a moment they're actually going to do anything of value. They'll get here into what some of the proposals were that were even on the table to talk about in the first place.
I mean, from everything I've heard, the issue isn't something the legislature can fix in the first place. It's an endemic problem in the police system. Talking to
people
who have been through it, I mean, they're trained to be exactly what the police are. It goes all the way back to where this person learned to be a cop from this person who learned to be a cop, all the way back to where they know the entire job is to oppress the ordinary people. It's us and them. You know, that's in their training. Disarm everyone as soon as you get there. Conquer, basically. You can't fix that with a new law.
No. And they're not going to fix anything of significance, but they want you to believe they will. Right, so they make big statements, like this governor saying, we thought something was really going to change this time. We were serious about this. And so it's all about talk. It's all about puffing themselves up and acting like that they care. And then at the end, nothing significant will change, and nothing significant will even be proposed. And that's really the important thing, because they could do something, right? Like, if they ended the war on drugs, it wouldn't end the way the officers behave, right? They'd still be jerks. They'd still be rude. They'd still be arresting peaceful people for something. They'd cook up some garbage or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they're great at that.
Right. But you'd still see a pretty dramatic drop in the number of peaceful people being harassed and arrested if the war on drugs were to have been ended. But is anyone proposing that?
Of course not.
No.
Well, other than us.
Right. Yeah, no one in politics is going to propose that. So, going on here. Democrats assailed their Republican colleagues for giving up without an agreement on police accountability, an issue that had overtaken a week-long special session called to review Walz's powers under the pandemic. Quote, it's unfortunate that the Senate decided that 1 week was all that we could muster in order to begin to address these issues, because, quite frankly, they are much bigger than a week, said House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler.
Okay, so hold on. Who's blaming who here?
The Democrats are blaming the Republicans for putting a time limit on the session.
Okay.
It was only a week. We need weeks and weeks to be able to debate and to discuss and to propose.
And to send it to committees so that they can decide.
Right,
whether,
all that crap.
God, it's such a headache, man. How does anybody have faith in this system?
I don't know.
It's a bureaucratic nightmare.
I think the only answer to that question is they don't pay attention. You can only have faith in the system if you just think it exists and does things for good. right? That it's possible to be used for good somehow, and you've never paid attention to the ugly process of trying to get anything done within it. There's more coming up here. We're at ForkFest 2020, ForkFest.party, great website to check out. This is Free Talk Live.
The monetary evolution comes to Las Vegas. Crypto Vegas is a one-day event featuring some of the brightest and most innovative minds in blockchain technology. Juan Galt, Anastasia Sergeyevna, Lynn Ulbricht, Jim Bell, Elise Sam, Float CEO Kingsley Edwards, and more. Tickets start at $20.20, and you can save 10% on VIP tickets using code FTL at CryptoVegasConference.com. July 18th, join Free Talk Live at CryptoVegasConference.com.
Mojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DinoVite.com.
On the DinoVite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
DinoVite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on DinoVite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
Gut shaving irritation? Shave Secret shaving oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts? Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, HEB, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owners population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live at ForkFest 2020, ForkFest.party, a good website to go and learn more about this event that's going on for another entire week. So get on up here, if you can, to Rogers Campground, the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Aria.
Well, it's tonight for you as you're listening, but for us, it is currently almost 3 in the afternoon. We've been broadcasting here, recording this show since as early as 11 o'clock, which, you know, it's taken 4 hours to get...
It's been a slow day, yeah.
Yeah, to get through. We're not even all the way done with the third hour of the show, because we're always talking to people and hanging out and selling gold backs and cryptocurrency, and it's just been a good time so far here today. Seeing old friends, as I mentioned before, we see people who are brand new. They've never been to New Hampshire before. We welcome them and, you know, answer questions if they've got them. And then we see old faces that, in some cases, I haven't seen in 7 years. And Nick Shankin is with us here on the third mic. Hey, Nick.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's a pleasure, and what a pleasure to see you again after so long.
Yeah, it's really cool. And New Hampshire is just as I remember it, and... You look just the same.
So do you. So do you. You, by the way, for listeners that, you know, aren't familiar, and they probably aren't, you, because I don't think you've been on Free Talk Live previously.
I don't think I have, actually.
You moved to Keene. What was it, 2012, 2013? When was it?
I think it was 2012, and then I think...
Was it after Derek J moved?
It was, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know Derek J, you guys go way back.
Yeah, actually, Derek J was my first introduction to libertarian ideas. So
what were you before then?
I was an Obama-voting liberal.
Okay.
Yeah.
From Philly?
From Philly, yeah. South Jersey. Mm-hmm. I call it Jerseydelphia. It's right over the river, but... East Philly, if you prefer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
So you met Derek J through the gay scene in Philly, basically?
Yeah, sort of through the gay scene, but also just we had this group of friends. You know, I don't know how much he would want me to say on the air, but we were, you know, outsider art people, I guess you could say, and we met that way.
Cool.
So.
Okay.
And you ended up coming up here, but you weren't together with him at that time, were you?
No, we were not.
So you were just inspired on your own volition to make the move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And how long did you stay? Was it like a year?
Like a year. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, I was young and irresponsible. And
how old were you when you moved up here?
Like 21, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to go back to Philly and essentially be a gay person in a city and party, and I did that until it wasn't fun anymore. So,
right? Well, there are, and then that is one of the challenges, right? I mean, in New Hampshire, there aren't as many people, period.
There are not.
1.4 million people in the entire state compared to Philly, which has got to be, what, a few million?
I think Philly has a population of like 5 million.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot more options. You know, you get like gay districts.
So hold on. I want to make sure I got these numbers right. Philadelphia, the city, has almost three times the population of the entire state.
I believe so, yeah.
Holy crap, wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Now, Philadelphia is also, like, there's the city of Philadelphia, which is essentially Center City, North Philly, South Philly, and West Philly, but...
It's 1.5 million, but it's still a lot. As many people in Philly as the entire state.
Wow. And then Philadelphia extends out into, like, various boroughs, like Chestnut Hill and stuff, that still fall under the tyranny of Mayor Kenney, so...
The whole state has 12.8 million in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Wow.
So you moved back, you wanted to party, you got that out of your system.
Yeah.
In fact, you've gone sober, you told me the other day.
Yeah, I've been sober a long time now.
So congratulations.
Thanks.
On that.
Yeah.
I imagine it's...
This is my first sober pork fest.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How long have you been sober?
18 months now. Yeah.
Nice. Was there something that, I mean, if you want to talk about it, you don't have to, it's fine, but was there like a specific thing that said, that pushed you over the edge and you're like, all right, I'm done?
I just ran out of options, basically, you know. I had experimented in various ways with various substances and combinations and absence of substances, and then I was just relying on alcohol, and that was, you know, my life became really unmanageable, and I decided that if I was going to do something more with my life, I had to put the drink down, so here I am.
Excellent. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. And actually, though, my recovery journey started about 4 years ago, and then I briefly drank for about a month and then have been sober for 18 months since then.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
Tell me about what's happening with COVID in Philadelphia. You live in the city, right? Like you're in...
So I actually live in a small, beautiful town called Collingswood, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It is a 10-minute high-speed train ride from Philadelphia.
Okay.
So it's very much a suburb of Philly. In the past decade or so, A lot of young professionals have been moving there to live outside of the city who work in Philly. So it's definitely a big commuter town. It's just kind of like an enclave of Philadelphians that live in New Jersey.
Gotcha.
But I do work in the city of Philadelphia, and all of my friends are there.
So you're there every day?
Every single day. Okay. Yeah, every single day. Pretty much all day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The only time I'm at home is usually to sleep or take care of the many praying mantises that I possess and sell. So,
you mean actual praying mantises, like
yeah,
like you keep them as pets?
Yeah, I have pets.
And, I prefer cats, but
I also sell them. So that's a little side hustle that I started during the coronavirus quarantine.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. So,
okay. All right, tell me about the crackdown. What happened there?
Okay,
how crazy is it?
It has been really crazy, and I kind of live in the best and worst of both worlds. So Pennsylvania and New Jersey had very similar restrictions. New Jersey's were a little bit more extreme in that we had an 8 p.m. curfew issued by Governor Murphy.
For the whole state?
For the whole state.
Jesus.
Yeah. We were not supposed to leave our houses after 8 p.m.
What the? Because coronavirus doesn't, you can't catch it at night.
I mean, well, there's more of it at night, actually. That's when it sneaks up on you the most. And apparently we... You know, it's not safe for us once the sun goes down.
The reason for the curfew is total control, right?
I mean, obviously.
It has nothing to do with a virus. Their excuse is going to be, well, these young people, they want to go out and party, and we need to stop them from even getting on the streets.
They'll never think about breaking our curfew.
There were people who were throwing parties, right? Like,
yeah, and they were arrested. There was, like, this 80-year-old woman's birthday party, and that got busted. They were turned in by a neighbor who reported them for having too many people. Some Karen, yeah.
An 80-year-old.
Yeah, an 80-year-old woman. Yeah.
Probably not many birthdays left.
Right. And she wants to celebrate. She wants people around. She doesn't want to die alone, which, by the way, happened during the COVID thing where they were telling people...
Most of the patients that died alone.
You can't come to a hospital.
Yeah.
You can't come to see your loved one die in a hospital. That's how insane this was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad.
So curfew.
It really encouraged this whole Karen snitch culture that's been going on.
Yep.
During this time, for my own mental health, I distanced myself a lot from social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of friends that
are... Oh, it's just so awful there.
It's abysmal, yeah. And I have a lot of friends that are active in local community Facebook groups, like the Collingswood Facebook page, the Haddonfield, New Jersey Facebook page, and... You know, they were telling me that people were posting pictures of people that weren't wearing masks. You know,
more Karens.
Outing them, telling them that people that they should be publicly shamed. You know, snitching on businesses that they felt weren't complying with regulations. But essentially, all businesses and restaurants were closed, mandated to be closed, with the exception of large corporations like Target.
Hold that thought. We'll continue with Nick Schenken here in our remote studio, the beautiful Rogers Campground at ForkFest. Go to ForkFest.party.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A federal judge has said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Attorney General Letitia James, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio exceeded their executive limits by limiting worship services and condoning mass protest as the state continues to reopen from coronavirus restrictions. U.S. District Judge Gary L. Sharp issued a preliminary injunction on behalf of two Catholic priests and a trio of Orthodox Jewish congregants. They filed the suit in the Northern District of New York after mass protests and looting occurred in the Big Apple following George Floyd's police-related death. De Blasio had, quote, simultaneous pro-protest and anti-religious gathering messages, end of quote, when he actively encouraged participation in the protest and openly discouraged religious gatherings and threatened religious worshipers, according to Sharp in the federal order. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. This is USA Radio News. The House approved a measure to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state, marking the first time a D.C. statehood proposal has passed either chamber of commerce. The legislation passed 232 to 180 with only one Democrat joining Republicans to vote against it. The legislation, titled H.R. 51, would create the State of Washington Douglas Commonwealth, named after Frederick Douglass. President Donald Trump has criticized the idea of D.C. statehood, and the White House has threatened to veto any legislation. Former Vice President Joe Biden said if he became president, he would make masks mandatory.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
The Centers for Disease Control recommends wearing masks in public areas where social distancing is hard to maintain. Biden is seeking to distance himself from President Trump, who has rarely been seen wearing a mask. However, Biden did say that he would not wear a mask if being inaugurated, noting that he could be distanced from people while taking the oath of office. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live at Forkfest 2020 on day number 4. And a beautiful day here in Rogers Campground. It's been a great event so far. It's only going to get bigger as the weekend goes on. And then we don't know what's going to happen next week when it will be all Forkfest all week without the Porcupine Freedom Festival here. Will the festival grow? Will it shrink a little bit? Who knows? And then what will happen the next weekend? We'll bring it to you here as time goes on, as people are taking pictures of Jazzy as we speak, she's very photogenic. Jazzy the Studio Beast is here with us. It's Ian and Aria in our remote studio. Nick Shankin joining us here on the third microphone. Turns out you're pretty good on the radio, Nick. Thanks for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
So we're talking about your experience down in Philadelphia. You work there every day. You live just outside of the city. And so you've got you've had a bird's eye view of, you know, what's been going on with this crackdown for the COVID madness. And you were just kind of going through a list of some of the restrictions just in Jersey that have been put into place.
I haven't gotten to Philly yet.
Right. So it was a curfew at 8 p.m. Is that still in place or did they lift that?
I have not heard of them lifting it. Mm-hmm. I also have not really seen it observed in the first place.
As far as being enforced?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never adhered to it, and I don't even drive. I bike everywhere. So
I see.
And I was never stopped or harassed.
Well, it's probably one of those things that they can just use against the people they want to use it against, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if you're a black guy, you might have had the, you know, the curfew enforced against
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. So curfew and I forget what else that there was there, but some other restrictions.
Business shutdowns, except for giant corporations
that
were deemed essential. Yeah, the local Target was open, you know, Dollar Tree, GNC, all of the Walmarts. It was kind of a strange assortment of what was deemed essential.
Did New Jersey's governor mandate masks like they did in New York and Pennsylvania?
Yes. I completely forgot because of how normalized that's become. But
wow.
Yes, to even enter any business, you must wear a mask. And that was also passed in Pennsylvania as well. It is, I think, required on public transportation in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, but I think it's kind of like enforced suggestion in New Jersey, but yeah, everybody wears a mask.
So is it also required just outdoors, people walking from point A to point B?
I don't know if it's required, but it is enforced through social policing.
The snitching and the making fun of or
absolutely.
Threatening maybe even people.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of my own friends, you know, being gay. Most of my friends are not libertarian. And
sure.
I've seen a number of them posting and commenting on each other's photos about, you know, you're not social distancing and why aren't you wearing a mask and you should really be home if you're not working and all of those
wow.
kinds
they
of things.
They would hate me.
Yeah, I have not been wearing a mask. I wear a mask to enter a store because they are threatened by the state to...
Right.
Make sure that I do, and you know, it's not their fault. They're not the ones telling me I have to wear a mask. So
it is kind of their fault, though, because they're becoming the enforcers of the state, so that police don't have to be out there in the streets mandating that people wear masks. They just pushed it down to businesses.
That's absolutely
lack the courage
true.
To stand
and
up and say, no, we're not.
And many of the police have not been wearing masks.
Well, that's nice, I guess. But, and I agree with Aria.
Well, if anyone's going to catch COVID-19, I'd rather it be a police officer than a civilian.
I agree with you, Aria. It's really the business owners that have been the crux of the enforcement of this insanity. You know, whether the business owners agree with these rules or not, they're following them.
Yeah.
And you know, we're fortunate in New Hampshire to have not had as bad of a crackdown as they have had in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. But from our perspective, it still was bad here because you've got all these businesses closing and they're killing themselves, basically, because the government told them to, because some man calling himself His Excellency, the governor of New Hampshire, seriously, the orders literally say, by order of His Excellency, on them, that these people are actually doing what he says, even though, arguably, the orders are illegal. Like, even under the government system, which none of us agree with, right? Like, we all want it to go away. But even under the system, the way it's supposed to work, a governor's order isn't a law. And so it hasn't gone through, like, the lawmaking process. It hasn't been debated. It hasn't been discussed. It hasn't been argued about and, you know, had these politicians, you know, change things or push anything through. No other politician has seen this, right? The governor just writes a thing down and says, I say you must wear a mask. And then all these businesses do what they say. I say you have to close. They close. So if only business owners would push back in some way, if only business owners weren't such pushovers and just, you know, doing everything that they were told, maybe we could have had more freedom. Unfortunately, the business owner didn't get into business to make a stand for freedom. They got into business so they could sell a product or a service to their neighbors and make some money and, you know, live a nice life. So to expect a business owner to do that is to expect too much of them, obviously, because most of them didn't do it. And unfortunately, New Hampshire...
I mean, most of them closed. So I mean,
yeah.
They got into business to sell this good or service, but then the government said, no, you can't sell this good or service. It's not taking a stand for freedom to say, no, I'm going to continue selling my good or service. It's taking a stand for the career that they have built. I mean, they're
That's
going to lose
point.
It if they don't stand up for it.
Certainly, the longer the crackdown goes, the more damage they're going to have done to them economically because they still have to pay rent.
So many of these places have already permanently closed
That's
as a
right.
result of this.
Well, also, like, I use my own example. Back in 2013, I was charged with possession of marijuana from an illegal search, and I fought the charges, and I won. I pled not guilty.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you. But it was 13 court hearings. I don't even know how much in lawyer fees.
How much did they find on you? A pound?
Actually, it was 0.1 gram.
Oh, my God. Was this Jersey or Philly?
It was New Jersey. It was New Jersey. And, you know, I won, but I still lost.
You lost all that time.
It cost me a ton of time, a ton of money. Yep. It wasn't like I got my lawyer fees back. So
this is what I was talking about, where every time you fight the state, you lose even if you win.
Oh, yeah. So for all these businesses, like, you know, I think of this little coffee shop that just opened up on the corner of my street, and they were in business maybe a month before coronavirus hit. Like, they're probably not going to reopen, but they can't afford the legal battle to fight the state, not to mention the fact that the public is clamoring for this kind of thing and would probably ostracize them financially anyway, even
that's
if they
the
did
other problem.
Continue opening. So
yeah, that's the other issue, is like, even if it weren't just the government saying this thing, so many people believe it.
Yeah.
That I remember in Georgia, where Georgia was making headlines because they were one of the first states to so-called, quote, reopen. Like, they were allowing restaurants to have people come back inside and things like that at reduced capacities, right? Like, it was 50%. So it wasn't like a total, you know, unrestricted reopen, but it was some level of reopening. And some of the business owners were saying they weren't going to reopen right away because it wouldn't be popular.
Yeah.
At least they actually had customers calling them. They had customers calling them and telling them not to reopen.
So in New Jersey, there was one guy he owned a gym. I think it was called Atlas Gym in Belmar, New Jersey.
Tell the story, please.
Insisted on opening and made a big announcement about it. I think it was probably like 2 months into the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And,
his customers wanted it. Right?
They did want it.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of support for it from the people that were members of the gym. And he also was very strategic about his announcement of the safety and you know, clinical procedures that they were going to be following to make sure everything was cleaned and social distanced. Mm-hmm. And they rearranged all the gym equipment and everything. And he was repeatedly cited and fined for every day that he was open. I don't know whatever became of it, but I have not heard that the gym is open.
I heard they cracked down on him pretty hard, but I don't have the details on the story either.
Yeah, they definitely
made an example
out of him. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you can't do it alone. I mean, you can't be the one business opening. You need a lot of businesses doing
it. And it's not, and they won't join you.
It would be cool if a community did it. However, Asbury Park in New Jersey announced that they were not going to comply with the state's indoor dining restrictions and that they were going to open all of their restaurants. And that was the city council.
This is the town. Okay.
Yeah, the city council said we are not going to comply with the governor's orders. And I believe that the town is now being sued by the state of New Jersey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't obey us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a resort beach town. It's a really cool place. There's a lot of history there. Bruce Springsteen got started playing there.
We got more coming up here. You want to stick with us for the last segment?
Sure.
More with Nick Shankin. This is Free Talk Live. We're at ForkFest 2020.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We all need to do our part.
And so that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. And here's more good reasons. Get 100 disposable face masks for only $36.99. Or 50 disposable masks, only $18.99 from sunny-bay.com. The best value of level 1 disposable face masks or high quality N95 55 face masks anywhere. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection and see your selections at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. It is ForkFest 2020. We're recording this on Thursday. You're hearing it on Friday. You still got plenty of time to come out here because ForkFest continues for an entire another week. Go to ForkFest.party. Come on up to the northern White Mountains of New Hampshire and join us at a beautiful campground with cool people. Nick Shankin joining us here from the Philly area with Ian and Aria in our remote studio. Also want to remind you about the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. And we've got some great listeners out there that support this program, and thank you to all of them. amp.freetalklive.com. Head on over there, and you can become an amplifier and get some cool perks as well. So there's obviously a lot to cover here, Nick, and you just reminded me we didn't even get into the Philly crackdown. We were just talking about what's been going on in Jersey with the state, you know, ordinance or the state governor's orders or whatever saying you have to wear a mask and close all your businesses. What's the city of Philadelphia doing?
So the city of Philadelphia has been following many of the same COVID regulations. But it's been interesting because all of a sudden I've seen a shift in the Karens, for lack of a better word, in their stay-at-home orders and their self-policing over all of the George Floyd riots and everything. So suddenly, you know, I had a party the last week that the governor permitted us to have 25 people or more at an outdoor gathering.
That's so nice of him.
And most of my friends angrily declined and said that they would not come and that I should not
You're
be
gonna
having
kill my
party.
Grandmother.
Exactly. However, not even 1 week later, they were joining thousands of people in a public place to protest the George Floyd killing.
Right. All close together.
All close together. I had friends there that said they were shoulder to shoulder, but that they felt that it was their duty and that they were willing
to risk
coronavirus suddenly.
They weren't willing to risk corona. They were willing to risk grandma.
Yeah, they were willing to risk their own elderly.
That's a really interesting point. So we had all this crazy corona crackdown thing going on for a couple of months, and then these protests started to erupt across the country, and rightfully so. I mean, I've been at multiple Black Lives Matter events, and
absolutely.
I've seen exactly what you're saying, where I actually heard some of the other protesters talking about how there was one of them who was like an older woman, like an older white lady was at this protest. She was like, I'm scared of COVID, but I was willing to risk it to make this, you know, to make this stand, as though she's taking some sort of significant risk, even though, you know, after there's been reopened New Hampshire protests. So just before the Black Lives Matter things, there were protests happening to reopen New Hampshire. So it's been two
types of protests.
Oh, and
we were called manslaughterers.
Yes. Yeah, because we attended the protest. Another libertarian was apparently on social media saying that anyone who attended the protest was a manslaughterer.
And yet everyone
it was David or Dennis Goddard.
Okay.
And yet everyone that attended is still alive and well. And
that was going to be my point, right? Like, there was no massive infection. No one had picked up anything. There should have been a massive spread, right? Like, if there was somebody carrying COVID it should have been.
One would think.
Yeah, but it's a bunch of BS. And, I mean, I'm not saying COVID doesn't exist. I'm just saying that it's way overblown for whatever the level of danger is there. And clearly, these people at the protests don't think it's that dangerous in reality because they finally found something. They weren't willing to go to your party, but they were willing to go to a protest with way more people at it.
Yeah, there were tens of thousands gathering in Philly. And,
that's huge.
And maybe these people were not associated with the protests. I've been told that they weren't, but the city began to become looted on a nightly basis and burned and destroyed. And currently in Center City, every major retail outlet and small business is boarded up.
Wow.
So it happened right around the time that Philadelphia was going to be given the yellow code. It was red, green, and yellow, as if we're all children. And
they
treat us.
Like terror alert codes?
Yeah, like terror alert codes.
COVID threat codes, I'm guessing?
COVID threat codes. So Philadelphia was a week away from moving into the yellow, which means that retail businesses are allowed to open again. But they were all looted, so they have not reopened. And instead, Philadelphia called in the National Guard to police the streets. So we had, you know, camouflage tanks, like soldiers with machine
actual
guns.
Tanks.
Oh yeah, like the Bearcat tanks, the
armored vehicles, basically.
Yeah, yeah, larger than a Bearcat, smaller than a tank.
Okay.
But with the Desert Storm camouflage and machine guns, assault rifles, they surrounded the Roundhouse, which is Philadelphia's main police station. And that was like a fortified military fortress, and still is. The National Guard is still there. Like, you can't even go within a few blocks of it.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are more police on the streets than there are civilians.
So they've actually militarized the city there. I mean, it's
absolutely
martial law. Is the curfew still in effect there?
No, there was never a curfew in Philadelphia,
no one's going out.
Yeah, no one's been going out.
Well, I mean, when you go out, you see the freaking military walking down the streets with their assault rifles.
Yeah, it's scary. So I have actually been doing bike deliveries. That's my main vocation since my other industry of catering was destroyed by the COVID regulations. Mm-hmm. So I've been out there this whole time through the quarantine, through the riots. And yeah, I mean, it's really disturbing to see. And
are the riots died down or are they still continuing?
I don't know. The past week has been relatively peaceful, but while I was getting ready to come up to Porkfest, I went to Trader Joe's to get some snacks to bring, and my cashier, when I asked him how he was doing, told me that at least he wasn't at the unfortunate protest happening at 15th and JFK, and when I asked him what that was, he told me it was a white supremacist rally. So I know that's only going to stir things up even more.
And this was 2 days ago or whatever?
2 days ago, yeah. Wow. There's also been a lot of, South Philly white people surrounding the statue of Christopher Columbus to make sure that it's not vandalized. And that has
turned to... What a stupid thing to take time out of your day to defend.
Yeah, they've been there for a few days, and the police are protecting them, and, you know,
I can't imagine being
protesters.
That bored, man.
It's...
Well, they don't
mess.
Have to work, right? So go stand by a statue all day. I mean, I've never cared that much about any statue to do anything like that. But
Nobody's working, so they have time to stand up for what matters to them.
Apparently, that's standing up for a murderer.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently. I will say that I'm happy that the mural of Frank Rizzo, the racist police chief that bombed the MOVE people back in 1985, was taken down. So
really?
It's the statue. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think the statue should all come down.
Yeah, it's all part of the state religion.
It is state religion. It's total symbolism.
It's also, even if it weren't state people, statues still elevate a man, right? Like, there was a photograph of a Gandhi statue that a guy was showing me from New York City. He works in Manhattan. It was very similar with boarded up windows all over the place. And he took a sort of a symbolic photo of a Gandhi statue sort of surrounded by all these boarded up, fearful people. And, Gandhi had a lot of good things going for him, but he isn't perfect. There were some critiques of him. Apparently, some alleged he was a racist, and I don't know what the truth is about Gandhi, but I'm sure he wasn't, a totally perfect human being. And so when you put somebody in a statue form, you're sort of elevating them up above the average person. So I'm not a huge fan of statues in general.
Yeah, me either, but...
So get rid of them.
I also don't know why there's so much, battle over them right now. But
well, because people are bored.
Yeah.
Evidently, they have nothing better to do than to fight over chunks of concrete and stone and granite.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say about that? It's just it's hard to find that motivating in any way, shape, or form. But apparently,
it's a hot topic.
As usual, we're in the minority, right? Like, we don't get it. They do.
No, apparently we don't care. Even though people, I've been reporting on police brutality murders for, 11 years now, probably, and,
Now it's cool.
Now it's cool.
Actually, Renee, my ex-girlfriend, was talking about a friend of hers she grew up with who got arrested in Georgia for making a stand and, with the whole police brutality protests that were going on. The cops screwed him over and they rounded him up and lied to him, and she had this whole experience. And so finally she had come on board with what Renee had been talking about years ago, right? So Renee's like, we were doing this years ago. It's lonely to be on the cutting edge of something, right?
Sure.
Like if you're on the beginnings of a movement or whatever, you're alone. There's no one else out there who agrees with you. And now it's finally popular. So you can't shame somebody for coming in late to this. Like, well, welcome. Now that you can see it, here's what's been going on this whole time. I'm glad you're finally upset. Now let's figure out something that we can do that's productive about it. Let's take these people to the next level and show them that it's not just about the police attacking black people. It's about the police attacking poor people. It's about
the police
attacking
existing.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the violence, the monopoly on violence that the state is. So hopefully we can take some of these folks who are upset and angry and show them the larger picture, and then we can maybe move some of them that care enough here to New Hampshire so we can actually make some changes, because these politicians aren't going to do it, and that's one of the things we touched on here tonight. Nick, thanks for sitting in with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
On Free Talk Live. Maybe we'll have you back when you move back to New Hampshire.
That would be fantastic.
All right, man. More coming up here tomorrow from ForkFest 2020. Go to ForkFest.party to learn more.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out Intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.